Today is the auspicious disappearance day of Srila Lokanath Goswami. It is a very special and significant day to perform this ceremony. The true qualities of a perfect disciple are revealed in the story of Lokanath Goswami. He was born in the Jessore district of East Bengal. His mother's name was Sita Devi, and his father was Padmanav Chakravarti. At a very young age, he left everything for the purpose of serving the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Living in Sri Navadvip Dham, he became one of the very intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. He surrendered his life, his soul, his everything for the pleasure of the Lord. One day in a secluded place, Lord Chaitanya spoke to Lokanath. He told him that in a few days, I will accept the renounced order of life. You will not be able to bear to see me as a sannyasi. After taking sannyas, I will go to Vrindavan. I wish that you and your intimate friend, Bhugarbha Goswami, together go to Vrindavan to prepare for my arrival. Lokanath Goswami, thinking of his beloved Lord Sri Gauranga, without his beautiful flowing hair, in the drab garbs of a sannyasi, utterly broke his heart. In fact, he shed an ocean of tears. But ultimately, a devotee puts aside his own sentiments, understanding that the order and mission of the Lord must be fulfilled under all circumstances. He offered his worship to the Lord and all of his devotees, and after begging their blessings and permission, began his journey to Vrindavan. Upon arriving in Vrindavan, we cannot imagine the anticipation he had expecting the arrival of Lord Chaitanya. However, he received news that after taking sannyas, on his way to Vrindavan, by the persuasion of the devotees, he decided to reside in Jagannath Puri. And the Lord had just departed from Puri to tour the provinces of South India. Lokanath Goswami was more attached to personally serving the Lord than residing in Vrindavan. He left Vrindavan to find the Lord so he could offer devotional service. He walked over 1,000 miles to South India, frantically searching everywhere for Lord Gaurasundara. He received the news that the Lord had completed his South Indian tour and had now returned to Puri. Immediately, he traveled to Puri. Just as he was coming close to Puri, he heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some time back, had left Puri for Vrindavan. I'm supposed to be there waiting for him. He traveled quickly to Vrindavan. When he arrived, he learned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already toured the 12 forests of Vrindavan for approximately 2 months, and he has gone to Prayag for the Magh Mela. Weeping in separation, he decided the next morning he would go to Prayag. However, that night, Lord Gaurchandra appeared to him in a dream to tell him that I will always be with you within your meditation upon my lotus feet and my service. But you should remain in Vrindavan, because very soon Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis will also come. And after some years, one of my confidential associates of the name Narottam will come to Vrindavan, and you should accept him as your disciple. In a spirit of service and separation, Vipralamba Seva, Lokanath Goswami wandered through the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Near Kadiravan, there is a forest of the name Chatravan. Within that forest is a village called Umrao. Nearby is Kishori Kund. At Kishori Kund, Lokanath Goswami lived in seclusion, worshipping the Lord with pure, unmotivated devotion. In his heart of hearts, he was longing for a deity to worship. Knowing the heart of his devotee, Lord Krishna personally appeared in disguise and approached Lokanath with a deity in his hand. The Lord handed the deity to him and told him the name of this deity is Radha Vinod. Then that person disappeared. Lokanath Goswami, he was bewildered. Who was that person? And how did he know my desire? And what am I supposed to do to serve this deity? I have no house, I have no property, I have nothing. Then the deity spoke to him. He said, give up your confusion. I am Radha Vinod. I'm hungry. Please prepare prasad for me. So Lokanath Goswami went into the jungle and collected various ingredients and prepared nice bhog offering for Radha Vinod. After the offering, he made a flower bed for the Lord to lay on. He fanned the Lord with a fan made out of leaves. Then he personally spent much time massaging the lotus feet and legs of the Supreme Lord of his life. He made a simple cloth bag in which he carried the deity around on his neck. That bag was Radha Vinod Mandir. The local people of the village desired to build a nice temple, nice home for him, but he preferred to sleep under trees. After some time, he joined Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis in Vrindavan. There a temple was established. He became one of the senior most Gaudiya Vaishnavas of Vrindavan. Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami helped the other six Goswamis in discovering and excavating the holy places of Krishna's Leela in Braja. When Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis left this world, it was an unbearable experience for Lokanath Goswami. Not only had Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda left, but now Rupa and Sanatana were gone. He had no desire to live, but the Lord had a mission for him, so he went on living. Some years later, the son of Krishnananda Dutt who was the ruler of Kethuri Gram, whose name was Narottam Das, arrived in Vrindavan. He was personally accepted under the care of Srila Jiva Goswami, who introduced him to all the senior Vaishnavas of Vrindavan. With the inspiration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wholeheartedly accepted Lokanath Maharaj as his spiritual master. He did not feel himself qualified to accept anyone to be his disciple. But Narottam Das felt within his heart of hearts that his lotus feet are my only shelter. He would every day come to hear Harikatha from Lokanath Goswami. He took instructions from him how to chant the holy names of the Lord constantly and always remember the Leelas of Vrindavan. He was eager to serve Lokanath Goswami, but Lokanath Goswami did not like anyone to serve him. So Narottam Das, knowing that Lokanath Goswami in the early morning would respond to nature's call before taking his bath in the Jamuna, would go to perfectly clean that place in the darkness of the night. No one knew what he was doing. He did not desire credit. He did not reveal his service to anyone. He just wanted to serve and please his Guru Maharaj with unmotivated love. After a year of secretly performing this service, Lokanath Goswami decided to hide in the forest to see who was doing this. When he saw Narottam Das performing this service, Lokanath Goswami, his heart was struck with wonder. Crying in ecstasy, he spoke to Narottam Das. "Why are you doing this? You are the son of a king, a learned scholar. You have had the personal darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why, with your bare hands, are you picking up the stool and urine from my body and cleaning this place? This is not appropriate to you. Why are you doing this?" Narottam Das, with all sincerity, revealed his heart, that "I have rejected all the wealth and luxuries of this world, and I have achieved the ultimate wealth, the humble menial service of your lotus feet." In these words, Narottam Das Thakur revealed the real spirit of a disciple for the spiritual master. There is no greater wealth, no greater fortune, no opulence that could compare to the opportunity to render service to the great souls. Everything else will perish, but whatever service we offer to the Lord's devotees and the spiritual master will never be forgotten by the Supreme Lord. Narottam Das expressed his mind to Lokanath Goswami that just as when a young lady decides who will be her husband, she prays to her parents to please accept, in the same way I am praying to the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, that he accepts that I can be the humble servant of you, Srila Lokanath Goswami. Seeing his genuine sincerity, Lokanath Goswami awarded initiation to Narottam Das Thakur. He gave him the sacred mantra and taught him the science of bhakti, as had been disseminated by Lord Chaitanya and Sri Rupa Goswami. Through this wonderful story, we understand how serious initiation is. It is not a fashion. It is not to receive some social distinction. If these are our motives, then the ceremony is meaningless. Initiation means genuinely and wholeheartedly showing the willingness to dedicate one's life to the service of Guru and Gauranga. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as his guru the first day he met him. But it was approximately 10 years later that he came forward to take the vows of initiation. This is the most serious action that you will perform in your entire life. The Shastras explain that in every birth we get varieties of mothers and fathers. But after wandering through material universes for hundreds and thousands of births and deaths, do we get the association of spiritual master? This can only take place by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. What is Guru and what is disciple? Guru is servant of Krishna. One who is representing the great parampara of great acharyas. One who is delivering the unadulterated message of pure love of Godhead through words and through action. And a disciple is one who is willing to be disciplined and live by the true principles of bhakti. Upon initiation, we vow to chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. Because in this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way to achieve the perfection of Krishna Prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Prakashananda Saraswati that his own Guru Maharaj taught him that great verse, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva 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 gatir anyata. But in order to achieve the goal of chanting Hare Krishna, we must guard carefully against the 10 offenses to the holy name. We should understand the nature of these offenses and how to guard against them. Because even one time chanting the holy names without offense can remove all the sins of all of our previous lives. This is the power of Harinam. At this time, everyone please recite the 10 offenses against the holy names.
The 10 offenses against the holy name are as follows. First, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. Second, to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Third, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Fourth, to blaspheme the Vedic scriptures or scriptures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Fifth, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be an imagination. Sixth, to give some interpretation to the holy name of the Lord. Seventh, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Eighth, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karma kand. 9. To instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. 10. To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names, and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Every devotee who claims to be a Vaishnava must guard against these offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success, Krishna Prem.
Lord Chaitanya has told us that of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important item is the chanting of the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. The Lord is not different than His name. As we chant the holy name sincerely, through the name, the Lord's eternal Satchit Ananda Vigraha is revealed within our hearts. As we go on chanting the holy name sincerely, the Lord's eternal divine qualities are revealed from within. And then the Lord's eternal abode is revealed. And ultimately, through sincerely chanting the holy names, the Lord enacts His pastimes within our heart and reveals to us our siddha deha, our eternal form and relationship to Krishna in His eternal lila. Therefore, the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna is the perfect and complete process to receive the mercy of the Lord and achieve the highest revelation of the spiritual world. In order to achieve this revelation, we must have great faith. That faith is only possible when we associate with devotees. Lord Chaitanya asked, what is a Vaishnava? He said, a Vaishnava is one who always chants the holy name. One who associates with the devotees in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant. And one who avoids the association of those who are materialistic or who are not devotees of the Lord. We take the vow to follow the 4 regulative principles. No illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, or meat eating. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the 4 pillars of sinful life. If we chant the holy names and engage in sinful activities, it is compared to an elephant taking bath and then covering himself again with dirt. It is very important that we follow these principles very diligently throughout our lives. Human life is meant for tapasya. No matter how sincere you are to take your vows, the illusory energy will attack. She will attack your faith. She will attack your enthusiasm by creating a sense of laziness and lethargy within your mind. She will bring about all kinds of very attractive possibilities to enjoy through sinful activities. You can expect these obstacles on your path. Therefore, it is very important to take solemn vow. And that vow will give you strength to overcome these obstacles. We must perform our sadhana under all circumstances. We must seek shelter of devotees' association. Srila Prabhupada said, one who thinks they can become Krishna conscious without taking shelter of the association of devotees is insane. But Mahaprabhu taught us what it means to take shelter of the association of devotees. To be eager to hear from them. To be eager to chant and dance with them, and to be eager to take the role of the servant of the servant of the Lord's servants. Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. With the string of the holy name around this verse, we must wear it always. This is what we are expecting of all of the initiates today: to strive to live by the virtue of real humility, to strive with all of our powers and pray for the mercy of Krishna, that we can give up our selfish desire to exploit and look for the real treasure of life in servitude. In this spirit, to always chant the holy names. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, when you're chanting japa, not only should you meditate on the holy name, but you should also conceive that the touching of your beads is personally touching and worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Personally, I am an unqualified, unfortunate soul, but by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, He's allowing me to offer service to His servants. Whatever I do in life is simply as a service to Him. He is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. ISKCON is the divine offering that He is making to His Guru Maharaj. Through His books, through His example, and through His divine grace, He is the Guru of all of ISKCON. And all of those who are accepting the role of Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, Vartma Pradashaka Guru, we are all simply assisting Srila Prabhupada. So all those who have taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada through His mission should strive to be united as one great family under the shelter of His lotus feet. On this day, I am feeling immense joy. Srila Prabhupada very much desired that intelligent and sincere people of India take up the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Today, so many of you are taking lifelong vows. It is my prayer that Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas bestow their infinite blessings upon all of you and lift you to the elevated position of pure, unalloyed devotional service. And I am personally very grateful that you are allowing me to accept the role of the servant of the servant of the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. We will now begin the initiations. The Brahman initiates are reconfirming their vows of first initiation and taking a vow to live by the genuine principles of Brahman. These shastras describe that a real Brahman is not someone simply born in a Brahman family, but one who lives by the qualities. In our society, Brahmins are expected to lead the rest of the society through their humble, sincere, and strict example of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.